for all that you do. Barbara is cooking, and we bet not hear one pot. We bet not hear one pot tonight. Don't play. All right. God has yet shown us yet another expression of his love, another opportunity to be alive and to be here on TNT Bible Study. I hope and I pray that sometime today that you stop to tell the Lord thank you for his wondrous works that he has bestowed upon us, because we do serve an amazing God. Amen. An amazing God. Amen. I did hear my administrator, Karen, on the line. Amen. I thank God for Karen. Karen is the rock that holds it all together. I tell you, she does, she does, she does. And I thank God for her tonight. All right. Tonight, y'all going to be so proud of me, because I've been ahead. And next week's lesson, Macedonia Deb already has next week's lesson and declare victory. And anyone else, Bubbly already has next week's lesson. So I'm way ahead. And it feels real good to be ahead, to be on top of my game. All right. So tonight our lesson is taken from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. And if you don't have no reason to rejoice, I'm going to rejoice for you, because our lesson tonight is reasons for rejoicing. Reasons for rejoicing. And I thank God for that, okay? And our focal point tonight, and I need everybody to grab your pen, grab your paper. I need everybody to put this on Facebook and tag me in this, all right? If we're friends on Facebook, tag me in this. Y'all ready? All right. God's grace is greater than our capacity to sin. God's grace is greater than our capacity to sin. Hashtag TNT. That's the tic-tac-toe sign, y'all. If you don't know. Hashtag TNT, Pastor Lavelle Jones. God's grace is greater than our capacity to sin. Hashtag TNT, Pastor Lavelle Jones. All right. Amen. Need everybody to tag me in that on Facebook. Put it in the Macedonia room. Put it in the Victory room. Put it on Facebook. Put it on your regular page, because we want more people to join TNT Bible Study. All right. All right, we've got a long way to go tonight, so let's get started. My reader tonight is Sister Bubbly, who's going to start reading at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. Amen.
Amen. Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Can you hear me? Okay. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations work in patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope make it not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet, peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love toward us. God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abound, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bubbly. Wow. Wow. Reasons for rejoicing. If you guys didn't hear that and her reading that scripture, and if you had a chance to study that scripture, verses 1 through 21, y'all, we have reason to rejoice. This morning at our prayer time at work, you all know that now that I'm a supervisor for the county, I still lead a prayer group every morning. And I have a good friend at work by the name of Alex. And Alex always lets the pressures of the job get to him. And I told him this morning, I said, Alex, stop letting people park on your mind that ain't paying you no rent. I mean, they consume so much of your time. I said, you are a Christian, and being a Christian, you need to live victorious. And after we begin to pray, and I begin to even pray for him, even in the circle this morning, he called me on the phone when he got out to the route and stuff and said, you know what, Lavelle, I feel that much better because of what you said, and you prayed for me. Y'all, let me tell y'all something. Being a Christian, we are to live victorious lives. We are not to live defeated lives. Because in listing these blessings in Romans chapter 5, Paul accomplished two purposes. First, he told how wonderful it is to be a Christian. Y'all, let me tell you, so many Christians live defeated lives. They live defeated lives. You know, that's why I love my sister Dee Dee so much of what she posts. Sometimes on Facebook, she gives you a realization of some things, and it's part of her Christian experience, how though even though sometimes may be tough, but she still lives a victorious life. The reason Bubbly is called Bubbly is because of her attitude. It's important that we enjoy our Christianity, because our justification is not simply a guarantee of heaven. So many people are trying to get to heaven. We're trying to get to heaven. We're trying to get to heaven. Oh, I want to get to heaven. Let me tell y'all something. I want to go to heaven. Don't get me wrong. But Jesus is who I want. Heaven doesn't give me joy. Jesus gives me the joy on the inside. Remember, the devil was in heaven and he lost his spot. So our justification is not simply a guarantee of heaven, as thrilling as it is, but it is also the source of tremendous blessings that we enjoy here and now. Now, watch this. Don't you be so heavenly minded that you ain't no earthly good. You better learn how to live, and you better learn how to enjoy your life. It's okay to live as a Christian. It's okay. You just be careful of what you do and where you go, that you're not offending anybody. You know, because when y'all invite me to Yoshi's and they playing jazz and stuff, y'all, I ain't so super spiritual that I ain't going. I'm going. I'm going, and I'm going to enjoy myself listening to some good music. Amen. And if I'm ever with the love of my life, when that time comes and they're playing love songs, y'all, I'm with my love, y'all, I'm going to enjoy it. And so we've got to enjoy our salvation and our Christianity here and now. Because his second purpose was to assure his readers that justification is a lasting thing. Quit talking about I used to be saved. Quit talking about that. Because his Jewish readers in particular would ask, can this spiritual experience last if it does not require obedience to the law? Somebody need to mute their phone, please. What about the trials and sufferings of life? What about the coming judgment? When God declared us righteous in Jesus Christ, he gave to us, watch this, 7 spiritual blessings that assure us that we cannot be lost. So up to this point, Romans has been a very somber and serious book. I don't know about y'all, but I see it that way. But chapter 5 is very upbeat. And the first 3 chapters of Romans, Paul reveals the grim, depressing fact of the sinfulness and lostness of all people. But in chapter 4, remember, he explained how all sinful people can be justified and made right with God by grace through faith. Now, in chapter 5, Paul gives all who have trusted in Christ 4 reasons to rejoicing. And here they are. Number 1, because we've got peace with God. My God, my God. We have peace with God. Wow. The unsaved person is at enmity with God because he cannot obey God's law or fulfill God's will, right? And when you get a chance, 2 verses in Isaiah makes that clear. That there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Isaiah 48:22. And the work of the righteous shall be peace. Isaiah 32:17. Wow. So Paul begins this chapter with the word therefore in verse 5 and chapter 5, verse 1. Now, when we see the word therefore, what should we ask? What is it therefore? In the previous chapters, Paul has proved we are all guilty of sin and explained God's free gift of salvation by grace through faith. The truth of the matter is, y'all, the only thing God owes us is a killing. Because none of us have a right to even be here. But thank God, because of his grace and the work of redemption on Calvary. I'm jumping ahead of myself because I'm getting excited. Lord, you better hold me, Lord. So Paul has proved that we are guilty of sin and explained God's free gift of salvation by grace through faith. Now, if you don't know the plan of salvation, y'all, call me on your personal time. Y'all, I've got the script written out. I will make sure that you have one. I will mail it to you. It can be done in less than 18 seconds. I've taught the Macedonia Church, even the Greater Faith Church, that it can be done less than 18 seconds. You can lead someone to Christ in less than 18 seconds. And the truth of the matter is, but you got to make sure that you have a relationship with Christ before you lead somebody else. Okay? Now, Paul continues, therefore being justified by faith, 5:1a. Now, the word justified means just as if I never sinned. Listen to that again. Just as if I'd never sinned. It is more than forgiveness. It means God makes us perfectly righteous in his sight when we accept Jesus as our Savior and Lord. What is the result of our being justified according to Romans 5:1? Somebody's kids, I can hear them in the background. You need to mute your phone, please. Okay. What is the result of our being justified according to Romans 5:1, the B part?
We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, so I have peace with God because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. Now, I'm going to go back to what I said a couple weeks ago. Y'all get on my nerves. People get on my nerves when the preacher is talking about Calvary and nobody says nothing. I watched Pastor Bernardo this past Sunday as he talked about Calvary. I couldn't contain myself, and I know the members of Macedonia saw me. I was on my feet because Pastor Bernardo made a statement that just blew me away. He said God became his own son in order to redeem us. Do y'all know how powerful of a statement that was? Wow. Wow. So being justified, right, we have peace with God because of what the Lord Jesus has done for me. This means we are no longer in rebellion against God. What y'all need to understand, the spiritual war with God is over. The spiritual war with the devil will never end. So we are no longer fighting God. And I hear you saying, Jones, I've never been at war with God, but everyone who is not a Christian is at war with God. Wow. Wow. Everyone who is not a Christian is at war with God. Now, we are all not God's children. We are not all God's children. We are all his creation, but we're not all his children. Now, somebody might say to me today, Jones, that's a narrow-minded statement, but that's not what I said. That's what he said. To as many as received him, Jesus, gave them power to become sons of God. And if you haven't received him, then you're not his child. So according to Jesus, why can there be no neutrality in Matthew 12 and 30?
He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathered not with me scattered abroad.
All right, so Jesus said whoever is not with him is against him, and whoever does not gather with him scattered. Now, watch this. Gathering and scattering are images of the work of a shepherd. Now, let me take you back to the 23rd Psalm for a minute, okay? Because whoever fails to gather the flock scatters it. Okay? Now watch this. Even as Christians, we do one of two things. We either draw people to Christ or we drive them away from Christ. Yeah, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. We do one of two things. We either draw people to Christ or we drive them away from Christ. So we got to be careful, y'all, when we invite people to our churches and stuff and all of that, and we know hell is going on in our churches and stuff, and we're gossiping about people in our church and all of that. Y'all, we got to be careful. We got to be careful. Y'all, even the stuff that we put on Facebook, we got to be careful. When we start downing people and downing preachers and downing Christians and all of that, we got to be careful because the truth of the matter is somebody watching you, and there's a neighbor that you're friends with on Facebook who don't go to church. There's a friend that you're friends with that you don't that don't even go to church, but they're watching you. So it behooves us to make sure that we lead people, that we draw them and not drive them, because we're in one of those two categories. Either even as a Christian, we either draw people to Christ or we drive them away. Now, one man asked his pastor, how many active members do we have in this church? The pastor immediately replied, our church has 100% active members. He said, 100%? Wow. He said about 50% are active in building up the church, and the other 50% are active in tearing it down. That's true in every church. Your life is either building up or tearing down your church. The major reason for our peace is we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Verse 5, chapter 5, verse 2, the A part. Now watch this. The word access means we have freedom to enter regularly into God's presence. Now, reasons for rejoicing, there it is. Wow. You know what? And let me say this part. Because not only have our sins been forgiven, not only have we been justified, and not only do we have peace with God, but also in Christ, we can now freely enter into what was once forbidden territory. Because having regular access to God was a staggering concept to the Jews, because all they knew about access to God was the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. And it could only be entered by the high priest once a year on the Day of Atonement. Now, watch this. You better thank God I'm not your priest. You better thank God I'm not your high priest. Because there are some days I get in my feelings. Don't you ooh and ah, because you get in your feelings too sometime, and there's sometimes you don't want to be bothered. And when things ain't going right in your life, and money ain't flowing the way you want it to flow, and you lonely and you want to be married, or your husband is getting on your nerve, or your wife is getting on your nerve, the kids are who look like angels when they sleep, act like aliens from another planet when they're awake. Girl, you can't tell me that every Sunday you come to church, you want to come to church and think Jesus is just all right with me. Well, the preacher feels that way sometimes too. But you ought to thank God that I'm not the high priest, because if you depended on me to go to God for you, there are sometimes, y'all, I want to go fishing. There are sometimes I don't want to be bothered with y'all. And you can't tell me that none of y'all get into that place where you don't want to be bothered with nobody. So this is a reason that we can rejoice. But since we have been justified by the blood of Christ, what does Hebrews 4 and 16 tell us, Bubbly?
Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Thank you, Jesus.
Wow. Wow. So I can come with boldness to the throne of grace to receive mercy and grace to help me in my time of need. Wow. In essence, y'all, I don't have to wait on the high priest. I don't have to wait on the preacher to pray for me. I don't have to wait on nobody to pray for me and lay hands on me. Let me tell y'all something. And the book of, let me get it right, in the book of First Samuel, let me see. In the book of First Samuel, I'm looking, y'all. The book of 1 Samuel. Okay. In the book of 1 Samuel, I'm looking for it, and I'll have it by the end of this lesson. In the book of 1 Samuel, it talks about David, that the Amalekites came into Camp Ziklag. And the Bible said that they had smitten Ziklag, and they had stolen the best of the sons and the best of the wives, the sons and the daughters. I'm sorry, 1 Samuel chapter 30. I know. Thank you, Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 30. It says, and it came to pass when David and his men would come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. And so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and the wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice, and they wept. Listen to this. They wept. They cried until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, and Naomi the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed For the people spake of stoning him, because of the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Watch this. But David encouraged himself and the Lord his God. Some of y'all waiting on that phone call, guess what? It ain't coming. Some of y'all waiting on somebody to pat you on the back, guess what? It ain't coming. Some of y'all waiting on somebody to call you and tell you it's going to be all right, guess what? It ain't coming. So what you got to do is that when the preacher won't lay hands on you, baby, you better learn how to lay hands on yourself. You better learn how to encourage yourself. And then the Bible clearly says that we can come boldly. Come boldly. Let me tell y'all this. Do y'all know God is not intimidated by our little sin? He's not intimidated by our little sin. That's why when you sin and you mess up, you're scared to go to God. I do it too. I'm not going to tell you no story. I do it too. But let me tell y'all something. God's grace is greater than our sin. And now we can come boldly before his throne. That's a blessing. Okay, let me move on. Okay, Paul concludes verse 2, and rejoice, 5 and 2b, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. In our language, the word hope means wishful thinking or planning. I don't know about y'all, but when I was growing up, young women often had a hope chest. Y'all remember that? Where they stored items they hoped to use when they were married. However, the Greek word translated hope here, it means confident expectation or to anticipate with pleasure. In essence, hope is being sure that God will do what he said he will do. And I thank God for that, that he'll do just what he said he will do. So we have reasons for rejoicing because we have peace with God. I'm going to stop right there. Any questions, any comments? Right there on that first one. No questions or comments? Somebody needs to say, teach, preacher, teach.
I got a comment. I just couldn't get back. Okay. I already said it. I'm doctored after the call.
What'd you say? Wait. What'd you say, Didi?
I already didn't say it. I'm jacking you after the call. I'm on my way. I'm in the car.
You're going to meet me in the parking
lot.
Teach,
pastor. Teach. Okay, wait.
Go ahead, Buckley.
I was trying to get my – couldn't get off the phone fast enough. I am so grateful that you put – when you broke down the word justified means just as if I never sinned.
Mm-hmm.
That helped me. That released a whole lot of shackles off of me today, pastor. That's all I got to say. Thank you for that part.
And you know what? You rarely hear about justification. You know, we kind of jump over it to, you know, living holy and grace and all those kind of things, but you rarely hear about justification.
You're right, Bravanda. You're right. Totally right. Totally right. And it's there for a reason. It's there for a reason. It is there for a reason. We're going to find that out. So the first thing is we have peace with God. The second thing is because every problem has a purpose. Did y'all hear that? Every problem has a purpose. Listen to what Paul says in verse 3 and 4. We glory in tribulation also. Wait a minute. Did you just say, Paul, that we need to have fun even when we're going through? That's what he said. He said we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh what? Patience. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. In essence, y'all, when we become Christians, our problems take on a whole new perspective and purpose. For example, a woman may experience much pain and suffering during childbirth, but she looks ahead with joy because there's a good purpose for her pain, a precious baby. In the same way, there's a good purpose for every problem God allows us to experience. I'm going to rewind that tape. There is a good purpose for every problem God allows us to experience. You missed it. One more time. There is a good purpose for every problem God allows us to experience. You know, when you look at Calvary, and when somebody explains Calvary, and when you look at the passion of the Christ and all of that, y'all, you see the pain that was inflicted on the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tell y'all something tonight. The cross is not about pain. Although there's pain embedded in the cross genuinely and authentically is not about pain. Because there's a higher calling and a higher symbolism that comes along with the cross. And if all you ever see is when you look at the cross is pain, then your Christian experience will continue to be a misery and never a joy. Why you say that, Pastor Jones? The way Jesus handled the cross was through bright perspective. The Hebrew writer said he was able to endure the cross. Why? He had set his eyes on the joy that was before him. Yeah, it was a painful situation, but he saw the greater good of it. And, y'all, how do you look at problems? How do you look at a husband who wasn't what he was supposed to be? How do you look at a father who didn't provide fatherhood? How do you look at a mother who didn't provide nurturing? How do you look at racism on your job? How do you look at the society and stuff? Paul said it's light and momentary. We've got to look at the joy that's before us. Wow. So there's a good purpose for every problem God allows us to experience. Watch this. Tribulation produces patience. Now, the opposite of that is panic. Patience is the ability to handle the pressures and problems of life. It's learning to trust God. Problems teach us to trust God.
Can you repeat that, please?
Patience is the ability to handle the pressures and problems of life. It's learning to trust God. And what I mean by that is if I never had a problem, I'd never know God could solve it. So problems teach us to trust God. And that develops our experience, y'all, which our experience produces hope, right? In 1 Samuel 17:37a, how does David express the principle as he faces his giant problem, Goliath?
Okay, you said the A part, so I didn't know where to stop because it didn't seem like it was a breakthrough, but I'll read it. David says, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion. Should I stop there?
No, no, go ahead.
And out of the paw of the bear. You want
one
me
more
to do the whole?
No, just the next part.
Okay, hang on, because I wrote it down and I didn't get to
that's
it.
Okay. I'll say it for you. He'll deliver
thank
me
you
out of the hand of this Philistine. That's what he said. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Where does your faith lie? Y'all, you know what? Some of the most faithless folks I ever meet are in church. And, y'all, God is no shorter than this promise. If God said it, y'all, you can put a stamp right there. You know, on my desk, when my secretary gives me my paperwork back that my drivers have what are called number 9 sheets. And on the number 9 sheets, they have to put everything. They have to put how many cans they picked up. They got to put what time they started their route, what time they went to lunch. They have to put what time they parked their truck. They have to put if they went and helped another driver. But at the top part, it's some blank spaces, about 10, 12 blank spaces. They're supposed to write up can, write up if the house needs a new can, if your garbage was overflowing or if it was in the wrong can or whatnot, you know, write all of that up. Or if you had garbage in your green waste or garbage in your recycle, they're supposed to put that on their number 9 sheet. And my secretary Sandra puts it in the computer. She inputs it in the computer, and when she puts it back on my desk, it's stamped with a complete stamp on it that says completed. Wow. We've got to be complete instead of panicking. And so what I'm saying is when you trust God, you've got to trust him completely. And knows that he's going to complete everything that he promised. My favorite scripture, Philippians 1 and 6, he that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So David expressed the principle as he faces his giant problem, Goliath. Lion and bear problems teach us to have hope when we have a giant problem. Wow, let me move on. Paul continues in verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Y'all, the Holy Spirit gives us an assurance of God's love, even in the midst of overwhelming problems. You missed it. Let me say it again. The Holy Spirit gives us an assurance of God's love, even in the midst of overwhelming problems. So we can rejoice because we have peace with God, and every problem has a purpose. I'm going to stop right there. That's number two. Any comments, any questions? All right, I'm going to move on. Number three, because we have reconciliation with God, verses 6 to 11. Wow. Reconciliation with God. What is the proof of God's love for us? Paul tells us, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commanded it his love toward us. Wow. Then what does Paul write in Romans 5 and 8, the B part? Bubbly, your Holy Ghost ain't working.
Okay, no, I couldn't. My phone locked. I couldn't remember my passcode. Sorry. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Wow, while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. So if you want to know how much God really loves you, look at the cross. Look at the arms stretched out. Because Paul says, while it is rare for a person to give his life for a righteous man, did y'all hear that? God sent his son to die on the cross for sinners whose sin is repulsive to a holy God. Because remember, God can have nothing to do with sin. So we should rejoice in our salvation because being now, verse 9, watch this, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So, in essence, y'all, if God saved us when we were sinful enemies of God, certainly he will save us from his wrath to come. Saved from wrath means we are saved from the fury of God's wrath that will be poured out on the world. And it's coming, y'all. So how is God's wrath against sin seen in Revelation 20 and 15? Bubbly, you slept in the night.
I know. And whosoever was not found, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire.
Wow. Anyone whose name isn't found in the book of life will be thrown into the fire. Okay. Now, Pastor, what do you do now with the Jehovah Witnesses? Because they tell us only 144,000 are going to heaven. Well, 144,000 of them are already dead and gone. So if the boat is already filled, ain't no need of refilling the boat, and the boat is already overloaded, right? But that's where they stopped reading, because John said that when he was on that Isle of Patmos that he saw a number that no man could number. And guess what? I was in that number. So Paul sums up this point in verse number 11. But we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Watch this. The word atonement means reconciliation. I'm going to break this word down. Atonement, atonement, atonement. Look at it again. At one minute. At one minute. Look at that. At one minute. It means reconciliation. Now we are at one minute with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. It means to change from enemy to friend. Now, I'm going to ask you again, don't you have a wonderful reason to rejoice? So our reasons for rejoicing include peace with God, Every problem has a purpose and reconciliation with God. Okay? I'm going to stop right there before I go to my last point. Anybody? Anybody have a comment? Anything? I wish I had me a witness here. Okay. All right. My last point, listen, because God's grace is mega abounding. Dee Dee, I just made up a word. I made up that word, mega abounding, okay? In verse 12 through 21. Now Paul contrasts the disobedience of Adam, resulting in universal death, with the obedience of Christ. In essence, he compares Adam to Christ, okay, resulting in eternal life to all who place faith in him. Because Paul begins, he says, wherefore, as by one man entered into the world, verse 5 and 12a, right? When Adam ate the forbidden fruit, I heard somebody say, ate that apple. Y'all, can y'all please show me where was the apple? Okay, if you can, let me know, okay, because I've never read that, okay? When he ate the forbidden fruit in the garden, sin became a part of his nature, and all of us inherited that nature from him because we are his descendants. Have you ever heard somebody say you just like your daddy? My mama would say that all the time. You like your daddy. You like your daddy. Why? Because I have my daddy's traits, all right? We know death is the punishment for sin because Paul writes, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Verse 5 and 12, the B part. Then he continues in 13a, for unto the law sin was in the world. Now, what this means, people sinned before God gave his law to Moses, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Watch this. In other words, they were not judged by the law in a legal sense, but by their God-given conscience or natural law. Okay? Now, when you get a chance, go back to Romans chapter 1, look at verses 18 through 24. Watch this. Now, natural law doesn't refer to the laws of nature that govern the universe, but to God-given moral standards that are inherent in every human being. What it is the rule of conduct God puts into our nature so we know the difference between right and wrong. My mama said it like this, boy, you know better. And when you know better, you put the rest of the meat on that bone. You do better. Because all are sinners by nature. Yes, we all still sin by nature. Paul writes in verse 14a, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Death reigned before the law because of our solidarity with Adam. This means they did not sin by breaking an explicit command as Adam did. Sin is not the result of breaking the law, but our sinful nature. Actually, we all sin in Adam because if God put each of us individually in Adam's place in the garden, we would have done the same thing. You can ooh and ah, not me, not me, not me, not me, not me. Let me tell you something. You don't know what you'll do in a situation until you get in that situation. You know what? You may look at a prostitute on the street and you say, oh, I'll never do that. I'll never do that. But you don't know what kind of upbringing that girl had in order to be in that situation. And so we got to be careful what we say that we'll never do. Amen. I said I never pastored in San Francisco, but I did. I said, some of y'all said you'd never leave Texas, you'd never leave Alabama, Arkansas, but you're in California tonight.
Pastor, you know, it's funny because Pastor Coleman lets us know that you don't know your capacity of sin until you had an opportunity. Some people live holy because, they haven't had an opportunity. So when the opportunity comes, you never know what you will do.
I like that, Ramonda. I really like that saying. And we got to be careful when we look down our nose at people because you haven't been in that situation. You're so self-righteous that you look down at somebody else. Y'all, we got to stop doing that. What we got to do is pray for them and not look down on them. Amen. And then, because the Bible clearly says, if your brother be overtaken in a fault, those of you who are spiritual, restore him, and unless you consider yourself, unless you also be tempted. So you can be sure that when you look down your nose at somebody else, let me tell y'all something. It's on its way your way. And Stephen also, the writer, said that you're either in a storm, or you just got out of a storm, or you're on your way into a storm. So we would have done the same thing. So, however, Adam was also a figure of him that was to come, meaning Jesus. And by verse 14, this means just as Adam gave us a sinful nature, in Christ we can have a new nature. So, Bubbly, how does Ephesians 4:24 express this truth?
And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Okay, so in Christ, I'm a new person, created to be like God in righteousness and true holiness. All right, thank you. And verse 15, Paul writes, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Christ is the anti-type, or he is the opposite of Adam, which means he's an opposite type. And what Christ did has the opposite effect on us from what Adam did. So Paul explains it in verse 15. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Right? So just as death came upon the human race by one man, meaning Adam, so life comes through one man, Jesus Christ. So how does 1 Corinthians 15:22 express this fact?
I'm sorry, which one was that, sir?
1 Corinthians 15:22.
For as in Adam we all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive.
Right. So Paul continues in verse 16. I'm trying to sum this up, y'all. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Verse 16. Now, what this means is one trespass brought judgment upon all, but many offenses or sins were paid by one, meaning Jesus Christ. Wow. Let me read that scripture again. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, meaning Adam. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification, right? So one brought one trespass brought judgment upon all of us, right, because of what Adam did. But many offenses or sins were paid for by one, meaning Jesus Christ. For one man's disobedience came condemnation for all. From one man's Christ's obedience came justification for us all. And verses 17 through 19, Paul amplifies this point by explaining that one man, Adam, brought sin and death to all, and one man, Jesus Christ, brought righteousness and life to all. So if the Lord tarries, all of us will die. Why did you say that, Pastor? Because we are descendants of one man, meaning Adam. So how many of us are going to live forever in heaven? All Christians. Why? Because we have placed our faith in one man, Jesus Christ. Verse 28, the A part, let me sum it up. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. In other words, the law reveals the great wickedness of sin. The law was given so we could see how sinful we are. And since the time of Adam, people have always been sinners, y'all. But the law was like having a super bright spotlight shining on sin. The law spotlights sin so we might avoid it. So how does Psalms 119 and 105 express this fact?
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Yes, it is. So one of the greatest reasons for rejoicing is where sin abounded, verse 20, grace did much more abound. So that means God's grace is greater than our capacity to sin, y'all. The word translated did much more abound is very difficult to translate. So let me try and do that. It means to increase to overflowing, or here's my word again, mega abound. It refers to a grace that has no limits. That's the kind of God we serve. We serve a God that has a grace to no limits. So let me ask you this. If God can forgive you, why do you got so much problem forgiving somebody else? If his grace trumps your mess, why can't his grace trump my mess? Why do I always have to be condemned? Why do I always have to be ridiculed by you that every time you see me, you roll your eyes at me? Because you remember of what I've done. You remember of where I went wrong. You remember where I messed up. You remember where I missed the mark. When the truth of the matter is, all of us are still missing the mark on a daily basis. Watch this. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't care how tall you are, you're short somewhere. And your level of sin may not be mine. Hello. And under the New Testament, you're not only held accountable for what you do, you're held accountable for what you think. I wish I had me a witness here. Okay? So,
you know, that levels a playing field. That levels a playing field because a lot of us would like to really say that, you know, we live this way and live that way or whatever, but our thoughts, even our very thoughts will condemn us.
As a man thinketh, so is he. Right. Okay? So it refers to a grace that has no limit. So the last scripture, bubbly, how does Ephesians 2 and 7, the A part, describe God's grace?
That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. In his
wow.
Is that all you wanted me to read right there?
Yeah, that's it, as exceeding riches. So let me say this. There are not enough objectives to adequately describe God's superabounding grace. What a reason for rejoicing. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, grace will always reign over sin and bring eternal life. And the 21st verse. So if you have trusted in Jesus Christ, you have four wonderful reasons for rejoicing. You ought not hold your head down no more. You don't have another reason to hang your head down. You really don't. You really don't. Even when you're feeling bad about yourself, just know that his grace is greater than your failures. And let me tell you this, God's grace is greater than what people think about you. And then let me throw this in for free. What people think about you ain't your business. I'll say it again. What people think about you ain't your business. Because, as I said earlier, I refuse to let folks park on my mind that ain't paying me no rent.
Amen.
I don't have that much time, that much energy to be stressing over what you think about me.
Amen.
When I know I'm going
Amen.
To work every day and I'm pressing my way and I know my bills are paid and I know I'm doing what thus saith the Lord, what God has called me to do, I got better things to do with my time than worried about what you think of me.
Amen,
If you tell the truth, somebody always got something to say. Somebody always got something to say. And you know what? Let me tell y'all this. And this is what you got to be careful of. You know, it's always good when everybody else is the butt of the jokes. It's always good. We can always laugh when somebody else is being talked about, when somebody is being condemned, and all of that. But what if the script was flipped on you?
Say it.
You wouldn't like it too well. So if you wouldn't like it that well, then we need to be careful of the things that we say and the things that we do.
Mm-hmm.
So you have four wonderful reasons for rejoicing. You have peace with God. Every problem has a purpose. You have reconciliation with God. And God's grace is mega abounding. It is greater than all your sins.
And I had something at the bottom of that paper. What was it, Bubbly? It was a question.
Explain how you appreciate God's grace.
Wow. Okay, you can take your phones off mute now.
Yeah, okay. This is Ravonda. I absolutely love my resume. I love who God has made me to be. And only because of this, nothing surprises me when people come to me and ask me to help them in whatever they're going through or whatever. I have failed in marriage. But the thing is that I have helped people in their marriage problems, where some people say, well, you know, if you ain't succeeded, you don't need to be doing this, whatever. But I have succeeded in talking some marriages off the cliff. Don't give up.
Wow.
And we're talking about babies. I mean, some of the people that I have talked to, they've gotten together and, I mean, they bought it together and they did the work and they've had babies and all. And sometimes I have to be very careful not to hear the naysayers. Because a lot of times people will say, well, Ravonda, you know, and they won't say it to me directly, but I can hear it, you know, because you haven't really been successful in this. You don't need to be somebody who talk on this. But I realize that God's grace and what he's brought me through, I have done some great work in the kingdom of God. And sometimes, I mean, we have to really realize that we have to really count that.
Ravonda, are you filing your nails while you're talking?
No.
Oh, okay. Somebody's calling me. Okay,
sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, but when God is, you know, a lot of times we don't feel that we're qualified. Sometimes because we may have failed at some things, but when we think about God's grace and his mercy and what he has brought us through, we have to do what we have to do. And sometimes it means that, you know, you have some information on this that will help somebody else through this time. And I absolutely love what he has done with my resume.
Wow, praise God. Thank you, Ravonda. Anyone else? Come on. This is your time. Talk about it.
It's Dee Dee. I was trying to be quiet because I talk a lot, but I can just piggyback on my sister, my big sister, Ravonda. I love her so much, and I love my resume, too. It's just beautiful to be in a place where you accept yourself with all your flaws and everything that you've done. And, Pastor, I love you so much. I don't like you all the time, but I love you. And you're right. It don't matter what people say. It's just this here, TNT, is off the chain. I'm sorry for those who don't join in because you get so much out of it. The way you present it, it's a dope lesson. Man, that's all I got to say. It's just I got so much from it. I've had such a crappy week, 30 years of service, and as of Friday, no longer with a company. But I ain't even mad about it. I'm glad about it because God has so much more for me that all I can do is praise him. I'm not mad. I'm not sad. I'm actually excited because I'm kind of tired of commuting. So just being on this call and knowing that, you know, it's just a new adventure. So I thank you for your lesson. I thank you for you being who you are. And I really wasn't on my way to jump you, but I will see you soon. I miss you. Just thank you for your lesson because God's grace is greater than what people think about Dee Dee. I don't even care. I mean, I stopped caring a long time ago, but what you said about they're some of the most faithless folks I've ever met are in church. You so right about that. We can go to church Sunday after Sunday. We could be at church 365 days a year and don't have a living faith. So just knowing that you're teaching a good thing, keep on teaching because you're doing your thing, and I appreciate you just for your heart. Love you, man.
Love you, too. Thank you so much. All right, anyone else? That was awesome. Thank you, Dee Dee.
Hi, this is Sister Carolyn. Hi. Can you guys hear me?
Wait, this is who?
Sister Carolyn.
Hey, Sister Carolyn.
Hi, Pastor Lavelle and everybody else. I've been listening to y'all. I've been driving for a minute. And I've been so blessed by this lesson. I'm going to go home and fill in the blanks. Amen. Listening to y'all. I've just been so blessed. Thank you for that thing on that second Adam. Amen. And that God's grace being so sufficient. Thank you for that and everything that you said on tonight. Thank all y'all sisters and brothers. Thank you.
Praise God. Go ahead.
This is Claire, and hey, how are you?
Hey, Claire.
I'm excited because this lesson was a reminder of just the little things that we can be excited about. The fact that every problem has a purpose. You know, in the midst of the problem, we tend to focus on the problem and not on the problem solver and the purpose for which the problem was given to us. And I'm excited. It just really, you know, it brought out some points that I knew, and it brought out some points that I may have forgotten. But I thank you for this lesson. I really do.
Praise God.
And you know, we reason for rejoicing. So we have a
wait, Rivanda, you're muffled, Rivanda. You're muffled.
How about that?
Okay, there you go.
Okay, we have the lessons of a reason for rejoicing. We have a mandate to minister from where God has placed us. Where we come from. Awesome lesson tonight. I'm going to run down the street.
Pastor
right.
Lavelle.
You know, yeah.
This was an awesome lesson. You know, 1 Corinthians 15:22. I do the King James because I know that's what you use. But I have to read the New Living one also. Everyone dies because all of us are related to Adam, the first man. But all of who are related to Christ, the other man, will be given new life. God's grace is just awesome. I'm so thankful for God's grace, and I'm thankful for this line. I'm thankful for this Bible study. I hate I missed last week, and I was mad because I couldn't get it on the thing to listen to it. But thank you, Pastor Lavelle. I every time you open your mouth, God blesses us with something to chew on, and I appreciate
that. Well, you know what I want to tell you, Barbara? Parenthetically, you know, you've been taking my spot on Sunday mornings, and I felt like, Didi, I felt like Flash from the Five Heartbeats. I mean, I felt like Kenny came in and wanted to tell Flash, you trying to riff like me?
Night like this, me? I wish.
Hey! I know that's my only buddy.
You on my spot,
Flash?
You on my spot? No, okay. All right. Come on. Anyone else? Come on. Y'all, somebody that's...
Hey, Patrick, can I say this? When you said, I'm not tripping off of getting into heaven, I'm trying to get to Jesus. I almost feel like Rivanda. I was getting ready to run over to Hilltop Mall from my house because the devil was in heaven and he got
right.
kicked out. That part right there, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Because we
do y'all know
about
that,
I'm going to get to heaven, but why don't we get to Jesus? What about
let
Jesus?
Let me tell y'all something. Heaven is just a fringe benefit of having Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus is who I want.
I know that's right.
That's good right there. That's good.
Yep.
A friend's
Hallelujah.
Benefit. That's good.
Yeah. Right.
Great
so,
lesson,
right.
Pastor Jones.
Anyone else? Anyone else? Come on, y'all, real quick, because I want to tell y'all about next week's lesson. And then the week after that is winning the war within, y'all. Y'all got it. Oh, my God. It's I'm so excited.
Awesome.
I'm just, oh,
okay.
God, because next week's lesson is the power to change your life. And then the week after that is winning the war within. Oh, my God. I'm excited.
Wow.
Y'all, let me tell y'all something. Because God has been so good to me, and now I'm back. I'm trying to get back on top of my game. And let me tell y'all this. And studying like I know I should study. And I've been getting up early at 2 o'clock in the morning going to the gym. And I go get my workout on.
We say you Slim Goody.
And then when I get back, I jump into the Word. I jump into the Word when I get back until it's time for me to go to work. And, y'all, I'm going back through The Purpose-Driven Life by your boy down south, down there.
Rick Warren.
Y'all, let me tell y'all something. Y'all better get into God's Word. You better. You better. I'm trying to tell y'all something.
You're
y'all,
so
I'm
right,
telling
Pastor.
Y'all, God is getting
Pastor
ready to do something. Yes.
Yeah, this is Sister Carolyn. I'm listening to y'all for this past, like, 45 minutes or whatever. Something catching my heart, and I'm like, it's only because of this call, because of this study. You mean, talk about God's grace, and I've been listening. I'm like, yeah. And a lot of times when people ask me, you've been married for 25 years? Wow, how? And I'm like, only God. I would always say only God, because I know that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But today, I'm like, it's because of his grace and his mercy. Oh, God.
That's it.
I'm like, wow. And only, y'all just deposited that thing in me by even me hearing it. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
So listen to this, y'all. Awesome. The next time you start feeling bad about yourself, and I'm not giving you a license to sin, don't get me wrong, but let me tell you this, God's grace is greater than your failure. When you fall, you get right back up.
Yeah.
And y'all, don't ever be afraid to go to God. Let me tell y'all something about God. God knew you was going to sin before you was born, and
yes.
yet he still saved you anyhow.
Yes.
So his grace is greater than your failures. That's what y'all need to understand. I'm not giving you a license to go out and still mess up and do all that. No, you don't want to do that. You want to live as holy as you possibly can. But
ain't there different kind of sin, though?
Huh?
Ain't there different kind of sin?
No. Well, I don't
just
know.
Just being facetious, bruh.
We put sin into superlative degree. We put it into superlative degree. But the thing that offends us didn't even offend Christ. The woman that was taken caught in the act of adultery, that didn't offend Jesus. He was more offended by them clowns that was trying to bring her in the temple and talk about her sin.
Right.
Because you got some stuff that you're dealing with. So quit talking about my mess when you got mess of your own.
That's right. I'm going to point my way.
Man, quit talking about what I got going on. Oh, did you know what LaVell Jones did? You know what he
did? Yeah, I messed up. Yeah, I did
some things in my life. Somebody got an echo.
Yeah.
All right.
Unmuted.
Okay. I don't know. All right.
Muted.
Y'all. I love every last one of you. Let's pray for Sister Susie. Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's pray for Sister Susie and Rick tonight. Y'all, please do me a favor. As we're getting off the phone, please tag somebody, tag me, and let people know how awesome TNT was. Please do. If you don't have the lessons, please, Sister Bubbly is on the line. Sister Bubbly is on Facebook. She's in the Victory Room or Macedonia. See Sister Deb Ryan. She's the one that gives the lesson there. Or inbox me. I will make sure Sister Bubbly, Sister Deb get your email to make sure that
okay,
you have
I will.
The lesson.
I got my email.
Okay.
I'll check.
Oh, that was Deb? Okay.
Yes. Okay. Thank you for the word on the way home.
Well, praise God. All right, pray for Sister Deb, too. Her mother is sick, too, so we want to pray for her, too. But let's lift up Sister Susie tonight and Brother Rick. Lost their sister-in-law earlier today, and his father is not doing good. So Let's lift them up, okay, tonight. All right, so let's go to the Lord, and then we're going to close out. If there's nothing else, anybody have anything else for me or anything? Or have anything else you want to say?
Well, I kind of did, but I can text it.
No, go ahead. No, go ahead. I got time. Go ahead.
Okay. This lesson, Pastor Jones showed me, gave me a fresh and brand new outlook on looking at the word patience, because that scripture always had me afraid, because I didn't want to ever ask God for patience because it came with all these extra things to go along with it. But your lesson today has showed me that patience is something that's a good thing for me. And with God, all things are possible. And it makes the problem of the day not seem big, because I know I'm big God, and there's no problem too big for Him. No matter what's going on in my life, it's never beyond God's control. And I'm so grateful for you and everything that you do. So just keep on. I'm with Dee Dee and the rest. Keep on doing what you do, because I don't know about anybody else. I am absolutely growing daily. Just by God's word and the way that you are putting it out there. Thank you.
Okay, let me share this with y'all, last thing. And I said this before, but I'm going to give it to y'all for free one more time, okay? If you want your prayers to mean anything to God, they've got to mean everything to you.
Amen.
If you want your prayers to mean anything to God, they have to be everything to you. You've got to be like the woman elbowing her way through the crowd. She just got to get to Jesus. And that's the way it has to be. You just got to get to Him. One thing I love about Diane Templeton, when she prays, and not just her, I'm just using her for an example, and Dee Dee, you can tell her that I said this. Her fervency, the passion that she prays with on the line is amazing to me. It is amazing to me. It's like, God, hear me. You know, it's God, I need you to move, and I need you to move. And if you want your prayers to mean anything to God, they have to mean everything to you. And I ask that y'all lift me up, too, that I can become wiser in studying God's word and presenting God's word. I love teaching. Pastor Bernardo's got me teaching at Macedonia, teachers meeting and all of that leadership, y'all, and I'm loving it. I am just having a ball doing what I'm doing. So y'all pray for me. Lift me up. Y'all know I've taken this position at work as supervisor, and show you how the Lord works. A whole other department, well, same department but different area, the manager of the transfer station saw me yesterday, and they called me Bishop at work. She said, Bishop, you're on my radar. I need you to come over here. We want you over here. We want you over here. So now they're pulling me every way. And I got a crew, and I have my first crew meeting tomorrow with my crew, and nobody thought I was going to be able to pull it together to meet with these guys and allow these guys to respect me, and they're doing everything that I ask them to do. It's nothing but God, nothing but His grace, nothing but His grace. So I bless God for that. I bless God for everything He's done and all He's doing. So let's go to the Lord tonight.
Brother.
Let's pray. Yes.
Real quick, I'm sorry, because you mentioned it. So that you know that's going on with me and Diane, we were just told that as of Friday, this Friday, we will no longer have employment. For me, it's been 30 years. For her, it's been 18 years. So for her and I've made peace with it. But if you guys can and will, there's four of us that it's effective. Diane and I are okay, but I have two other coworkers, Diana and Laura. And they're not believers, but I think they have become believers today. We had a meeting, and I tell you what, they asked us to pray. They were calling on Jesus. So, you know, it's pretty sad that as of December 22nd, we won't be on payroll 3 days before Christmas, and that's corporate America. I've made peace with it, but if you guys can find it in your heart, just think, you know, just think about us. I'm good. Diane is good, because we know God is Jehovah Jireh, but you know, it's just what it is. It is what it is. I was blessed in June. They tried to do it shady, but God, you know, allowed me to get to September, so I now have my 30-year service, and I'm good. God is good, and he's opening up doors. So just if you, you know, just keep us lifted. That's it. Thank you.
Praise God. Amen. All right. Let's talk to the Lord. Father, how we bless you, and Father, how we thank you again, God, for yet another expression of your love. Thank you, God, for your word tonight. God, I pray, God, that it moved from heart to heart and breast to breast. God, I pray that even after teaching this lesson, God, I pray tonight that whatever you do, don't let us leave the same like we came, God, that we might be better people as a result of your word, God. God, I pray for Dee and Diane and their coworkers, God. God, we know that you have them and you're holding them in the hollow of your hand, God. God, that even though those two may not be believers, God, you still got them, God. And God, through the life of my sisters, Dee and Diane, God, that they can become believers, God. They can give their lives to you, God. Now, God, we know that you have greater assignments for them, God. God, we pray for Sister Susie and Brother Rick tonight, God. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would touch them right now, God. God, teaching them that earth hath no sorrow, that heaven cannot heal, God. And then, God, I pray for Rick's father right now, God, that you would begin to touch him right now, God. Whatever the situation may be, God, we know the doctors practice medicine, but you are the real physician. And then Sister Deb Ryan's, God, we pray for her mother tonight, God. God, we know she's traveling back and forth to East Palo Alto, God, and we pray for traveling grace as she goes back and forth, God, that you would touch her mother right now, God. I pray that you would heal right now, God, that what needs to be healed. And not only them, God, for those who didn't even have a spoken request tonight, God, you know who they are. God, I pray that you would touch them. And God, I don't want to be selfish tonight, God, but I ask that you would bless your humble servant over here. God, I can't lead these people. I'm just a child. But if you would give me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, God, that you would make my heart better and my mind better, God, as I study and present your word, God. And then, God, you know the things that you have for me, the two things that are coming up. And, God, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you would put me on the hearts of the people and keep the people on my heart, God. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would bless and keep us, God, as we get off the line tonight, but never from your presence. Go with the standby. Keep us from all hurt, harm, and danger. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I love every last one of you. Please tag me, hit me, and let everybody know that you had an awesome time on TNT tonight. I love you, and I'll see you next week.
Amen.
If
love
you don't
you,
have the, if I don't have your email address, please give it to me. So make sure that I get it so I can make sure that you have the lessons. All right? Much love. All right? Be blessed.
Love you, brother.
Have a great night.
God bless everybody. Good night. All right,
bye-bye.
Peace and blessings. Good night.
Mm-hmm.